get into the heart of the story every afternoon. Natasha Hall, CJAD 800.
Well, the pandemic has hit all Canadians in the pocketbook over the past year, right? And many people have lost hours at work or lost their jobs altogether. But here's the thing. One small part of the population is not feeling it. They're already on the road to financial recovering. And meanwhile, it's going to take others years and years to bounce back. So you can probably guess where I'm going with this. The rich get richer. Mega rich Canadians, we're talking about the 1%, have recouped their COVID losses in record time. Meanwhile, those in lower economic brackets, especially women, are going to be struggling to recover for the next decade. So it's being called the inequality virus. It's affecting Canadians as much as COVID itself. Here to discuss it is Denise Burns, Executive Director of Oxfam Quebec. Hello, Denise.
Hi.
So thank you for your time today. Let's talk right out of the gate here about this report that Oxfam just released. It's about the deep divide in the economic recovery during the pandemic. What were the main findings of this report?
Well, the main finding is that, you know, we talk a lot about the impact of the pandemic, and it's been terrible for a lot of people who've lost loved ones or their jobs, et cetera. But it's also hiding another, virus. We're calling it the inequality virus, and that's the economic and social crisis that's going to follow in the next years. So all those people, as you mentioned earlier, who've lost their jobs, who were at the front lines, who were in precarious, you know, in work that was not well paid or in precarious jobs or even in the informal sector in a lot of poor countries, are not going to be able to get back on their feet very quickly.
Okay, so the first thing that comes to mind for me is that, you know, in so many ways, this is nothing new. We always hear the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. How has the pandemic exacerbated that?
So yeah, the research we did this year, we talked to about 300 different economists across more than 70 countries, and they were fairly unanimous in saying that they expected inequality to rise in their country and to get worse. And that's never seen. To have inequality rising in all parts, in all countries across the world is something we haven't seen since we started tracking inequality.
Wow.
So it's going to impact everywhere. And as you mentioned earlier, there's a very female face to this, the impact, as women are, you know, 70% of the front line in health workers and social work and care, unpaid care work for families, you know, with older family members or sick people. There's 70% of those who've been more exposed to the virus, who have had to stop working to take care of people who are sick. And there are also women are, as unfortunately, even in 2021, women are still more concentrated in low-paying jobs with not very good working conditions and no job security.
So I really like that you're immediately putting a face on who those who are in the most precarious position is. Who are the 1%? We're talking about like 44 billionaires here, really.
In Canada, we're talking about 44 billionaires. Those are the richest ones. And, I mean, you can consult the list on on Forbes. But, you know, we're talking about families like the Thompson family. We're talking here where I am in Quebec here with Lino Saputo, Alain Bouchard. There are names we know. And, you know, many of them are active in philanthropy, and that's mm-hmm. great. But the amount of money that has been made during this pandemic while other people are really, you know, lining up at food banks who used to have a salary, it's something we have to look at, and we have to question what choices we're making restarting the economy. Are we going to make different choices to make the economy work for everybody?
Yeah, and again, I think seeing the face. I mean, I hate to say that too, because I love what you highlighted there about the philanthropists, but we're still talking about white male billionaires, 44 of them who increased their worth, their wealth, by almost $63.5 billion since last March. So, you know, to put those numbers into relatable terms, that the mega wealthy getting more wealthy, how could we break that down to help poor people?
So the problem isn't that people make money so much as that, you know, there's an unfair tax system happening because people can hide their wealth in, you know, offshore accounts and, you know, fiscal paradises and things like that. So we need some political will, some courage, political courage to better tax everyone in an equal manner. So, you know, if, you know, you and me and the teacher that teaches our kids are paying, you know, 30% of their income in taxes because we believe in public services for all, and if you're sick, you will be treated, you know, at a hospital, and you won't go out, you know, get into debt because of it. Mm-hmm. well, why would not the large fortunes or the large multinational companies or the GAFAMs, you know, the Facebooks and et cetera, why would they get away with paying 3 to 5% of taxes? So it's not so much about the money as it is also about the taxation, which is, you know, for the large fortunes has been going down systematically since the 70s, which means we don't have, governments are constricted to invest in public services.
We're speaking with Denise Burns, the executive director of Oxfam Quebec. Again, I'm going to come back to what you said about philanthropy, too, which it's great, you know, that a lot of those really, you know, those white male billionaires are giving back, but they also get huge tax cuts for it. When we talk about this term inequality virus and how it's affected us almost as much as the COVID virus has, what exactly is that? What's driving the inequality virus?
Well, it's our economic system. So you mentioned the question of philanthropy, which is, yes, it's great that people are generous, but at the same time, it's estimated that countries are losing globally about $550 billion by tax evasion. Just to put that in perspective, that amount of money would pay the salaries of 34 million nurses. We know that nurses are missing around the world in this pandemic to respond, and they've become people that everybody appreciates. But let's just think about that. For 34 million nurses paid by that tax evasion. So, you know, it's about a fair share, too. It's about everyone paying their share. Companies use the infrastructure, in our country and elsewhere to do business. They should pay their fair share of it as well.
So, and if we're not just talking about money to do with the inequality virus, it also physically takes a toll in so much that lives are being lost. Can you explain that a bit, Denise?
Well, as we said, it's not affecting everyone the same. So obviously, if I live in a country where there's no health insurance, which could be the United States, right? Mm-hmm. So if apparently 50% of workers in the U.S. count on their employer's health insurance. So all the people that lost their jobs no longer have health insurance. Here in Quebec, 68% of the jobs that were lost in the past year were occupied by women. So that's a number.
What was that number again, 68%?
68% of the jobs that were lost between October 19 and 20, October to October, were held by women.
Wow.
We also know that in neighborhoods where there's a concentration of frontline workers and who are often also immigrants or racialized Canadians or Quebecers, that the number of people exposed to COVID is way higher, and the number of deaths are higher. Afro-Americans have been dying at much higher rates than whites in the United States, and in Brazil, 40% higher chance of dying from COVID for Afro-Brazilians.
It's upsetting. It's upsetting to hear those numbers, and it's upsetting to try and wrap your brain around that. What is the answer here, Denise? Like, what's a policy that would help protect poor Canadians or even beyond Canada? Like, is it really as simple as just trying to get the rich to pay more taxes?
Well, it's a question of how we invest the money into our systems that make the world more equal. So we know that, for example, when we have public education, you pull lots of people out of poverty because they get educated and they get better jobs. It's the same thing with health. If we invest in health, people, you know, live longer, they are better in better condition to work, and they can concentrate on contributing to the economy. So it's really important to invest in our public services, and to do that, we need to find more money, right? that's what governments will say. But honestly, if we taxed just, you know, some of the big fortunes of this world and the multinationals, just 1% more, 1% more taxes, just one. We showed in a former report with Oxfam, you could pay to send all children in Africa to finish their public school. I mean,
so what's 1%. The resistance? What's the? I mean, because we've heard a lot about that 1%, 1%, 1%. If it can fix it, that simple. Why is it not happening, Denise?
Well, I think it's about the politics, you know, how politics and business work together. That's part of it. Although we're seeing encouraging things. We saw this week that Venezuela has decided to make a temporary tax on large fortunes in order to better finance their public health system and respond to the COVID virus and support their population. We think that's a great step, and others could step forward and do that. But ultimately, it would be nice if they did it long term. That would be the because you can do something temporarily, but ultimately, you know, when this virus hit, there were 3 billion people in the world that don't have access to health care.
Right.
So we need to find structural solutions to structural problems. And there's enough money out there, if we were to have a fair taxation system where everyone paid their share, mm-hmm. That we could afford to take care of everyone. And I think that there's a statistic in the report that said that the amount of money that the 10 richest white men made during the pandemic, which is $500 billion, would pay the vaccine for everybody across the world.
Seems pretty simple and pretty straightforward, so doesn't it?
It takes political courage. Yeah. It takes also organizations pushing and the public also pushing. And we have a petition on our website to ask the government to better tax everyone more equally. And so that means that the larger fortunes would be better taxed.
Okay. So is that Oxfam Quebec or Oxfam Canada?
It's online at both Oxfam.
Okay.
And people can sign it, and we welcome signatures because we're going to take it to the public representatives and to MPs, and we're going to talk to them about what role they can play. And we saw
Excellent.
That in the recent new mandate letter given to Minister Freeland, mm-hmm. she's been asked to look into fairer taxation of large fortunes and fighting
How fitting evasion. Would it be to have our first female finance minister be the one to actually effectuate that change? I've run out of time, but Denise, really interesting stuff. Yeah, wouldn't it? Thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.
That's Denise Burns, Executive Director of Oxfam Quebec.